Miko is here today. As is Guy. As is Carol. As is Ularis. As is Aiden. And Orion. And Carlton. Cole. Austin.
Nice fire.
And Lex. And Anthony. And Edamere just experienced something on his computer that was life-changing.
Huh?
What?
Back there giggling like a little schoolgirl. Dylan's back. Andrew. Reed. Amber. No Mike. No Julia. No Ethan. No Lucas. I wonder if he dropped. I gotta look him up. I haven't seen her in a while either. Of course, as we know, if you make it to the end of the semester with perfect attendance, you get extra points.
They sound like
you got your points.
You! I said that, didn't I?
No.
Yeah. Oh, all right, I'll say it now. If you make it to the end of the semester with perfect attendance, you get extra points. I could have sworn I said that on the first day.
What about that? I had pneumonia on the first day.
Well, you weren't in actual class, so that doesn't count as an absence. Close your computers, shut your notebooks, you're having a quiz. Why? Because I'm mad that there are spots on my glasses. And you know the worst part is? These aren't even my real glasses. These are my backup glasses. I call these my truck glasses. Because I left my real glasses on my desk this morning making your damn quiz. I know.
I will buy you the world's smallest violin.
I know, isn't it like a sad story? All right, I will be fair on I changed my mind. Gotta be fair. No one gets a head start. Watching Carol in particular over here, hiding in the wall.
One for you.
Look.
No, you're writing on this. I provided you the writing yet.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was thinking about you, I didn't say go.
Whoa.
I know, right?
We should all get extra points for that.
No one should get extra points, but I think people should get zeros. Fuck that. Yeah,
no.
Zeros. No?
Hey, my middle name is Zero.
Oh, what? Interesting.
All right. So, if you've been doing what you're supposed to do, take your notes, do your homework, read the chapters, read your notes, this should be wicked easy. If you have not, it's gonna suck. Because this is a taste of what you're gonna see on your upcoming first exam. I didn't say start! Should I give him a zero like I gave you a zero? Did I give you a zero?
No, you didn't.
Damn it! You screwed up. Maybe next time. Alright. So, notice before you flip over. Notice how long the question is. My advice is read it carefully. You have 5 minutes. Go.
2 minutes have expired. 3 to go.
One minute left.
Seconds. Six. Names on them, pass them forward, please. Actually, pass them across the room to here. Please. Take one down, pass it around. Definitely not 99 quizzes I get a grade. Thank God. Figuring out these types of questions rely on reading comprehension. So, for example, how many of you noticed that?
Oh,
you say
it too fast.
Shit. Oh. Just saying. I won't hold it against you this time.
Hey, just be thankful I didn't do what your fifth grade teacher is and put something in there that you had to yell or jump or do something goofy.
That's kind of funny when they did that, though.
Yeah, it was always funny. But, the key to answering these questions are knowing the law and applying the facts to the law. So let's take a look. And by the way, this is how you should always answer when I give you these essays. Because this is how you kind of walk your brain through it. So, what is the issue? We're trying to determine if these two people are liable for what happened to my favorite hypothetical character, Clueless, who you will see very frequently on exams. Why? It's self-explanatory. So, the first thing we need to consider, because it's really the only rule of law that we've covered, is did they do it? And if they didn't do it, are they a bystander? Because, of course, if they are a bystander, they don't have a duty to do anything unless they created the harm or the peril. So, we have to go through all of the exceptions that we covered. The only one we didn't cover was Tarasoft, and we're going to do that today. So, first, we talked about, you know, trespassers and all the rest of that. Licensees, invitees, do either Walker or Shelley own the land?
No.
So there goes our analysis of invitee, licensee, trespasser. Identified relationship, spouses, children, employer. Do they have relationships with Clueless?
No.
All right. So we don't have to worry about any of the exceptions. We can just focus on the rule. The key to figure out is if they are the ones responsible for the harm that Clueless suffered. What was the source of Clueless harm? He fell in a hole. Did either of them open the hole?
No.
If they didn't open the hole, how could, regardless of what happened, they ever be held liable? They cannot. So, issue, rule, by the way, notice it's IRAC. Issue, rule, analysis, conclusion. Because they're bystanders, neither Walker nor Shirley owe a duty to Clueless. Therefore, neither can be liable for injuries suffered. Questions. Now, are these all or nothing?
No. And this is how they shall be graded.
Two possible areas of inquiry, thus 5 points each. If you just said they are not liable, you'll get 2 points. If you just mention that they could be a bystander, Or what are the responsibilities of a bystander? I'll give you a point. And if you identify the rule properly, you'll get your other 2 points. So, bystander, obligation, we know the rule, not liable. Look at what I did. I didn't even write full sentences. Walker, not liable, didn't create the harm, no duty to warn or assist. Easy as that. Questions? Now, by the way, the reason why I give you timed quizzes is to get your mind ready for what's going to happen on the exam. You will have a timed exam. I will put so much on there that you're going to have to read that you're going to have to be able to just basically issue spot. So what does that mean? You got to train your brain to skim, find the important details, quick analysis, and boom. And by the way, I'm not lying. If you, any of you, ever decide to go to law school and practice law school is miserable. I will tell you that. Because you go to law school thinking it's going to teach you to be a lawyer, it doesn't. All law school does is teach you how to pass the exams of the particular professor whose class and what you're in. And by the way, most law school exams, you get one exam per year. The final. And it's worth like 95% of your grade. Not fun. And then if you pass law school, then you gotta take the bar exam to become licensed. It's a 2-day exam. On the first day is the multi-state day. That's when you just kind of cover just general common law concepts. They give you 200 multiple choice questions that could have fact patterns as long as that quiz. 100 in the morning, 100 in the afternoon. I forgot the exact math, but they basically said you have about 46 seconds per question to make your way through and get your answer. And then on day two, it's just essays. That's the Massachusetts state-specific laws. You get 4 essays in the morning, 4 essays in the afternoon. Now, here's the best part. They don't tell you what the passing score is, because every sitting of the bar exam, the passing grade is different. It depends upon the overall grades of the people who take it. And if you pass, they don't tell you your score. They just tell you, congratulations, you're a lawyer. But if you fail, they will tell you your score. But they won't tell you how badly you failed. So, I don't expect many of you are going to go to law school. But you're here at a 2-year college. Chances are you're going to go on to a 4-year school. Some of you may go to graduate school. And all your exams are timed. Getting in the practice of forcing yourself to read quick, analyze quick, it's a good skill to have. So, we're just training you. And also, that's the reason why I always give you partial credit. All right, I will have those back for you on Wednesday. It's Columbus Day. We got another day off. This is crazy. All right. Why don't you take out your homework? Please. I don't even remember what the homework was. Is this it? Did this start off with Elk Grove? Is that the assignment I gave you? Okay. All right, so let's see. Where is my little grade sheet? Jose is here, and Janine is here. All right. Let's start off with an opportunity for this student to get a yellow dot, which is extra credit, or a red dot, which is penalties. Let's see. Love it. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You prepared?
I am prepared.
So you did your homework. Outstanding.
I did my homework.
All right. Elks Grove Unified School District v. Newdow. What happened here?
So there's a daughter. We're all in kindergarten. Their duty or practice every morning was saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, what's the Pledge of Allegiance?
Say it every morning in school.
Yeah, but what is it?
Going to say it like out loud, like
sure.
It's like the I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, individual liberty and justice for all.
All right, had a voice. Well done. Well done. All right, so question. Why are kids encouraged to say that every morning?
It's kind of a practice that, well, actually, in the state that she was in, it was actually a there was a law that all kids actually have to recite the Pledge of Allegiance in the morning.
Okay, so we won't encourage, we'll say have to. Fine, that's fair. Have to. Why? What is the benefit that we as citizens of these United States of America get for actively reciting the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag frequently?
A reminder to yourself, almost?
Of what?
Of our liberties.
Yeah, exactly. You are a citizen of this country. And being a citizen of this country has meaning. Meaning that citizens in other countries do not experience. Because one of the greatest components of being an American is you all right here, right now. You get to go to school where you want to go. You get to wear what you want to wear. You get to eat what you want to eat. You get to be whoever you want to be. The vast majority of human beings on this earth today do not get that. You are compelled to do what the government wants. So saying the pledge, it's not harmful. It's patriotic. And by the way, how great do you think our country would be if everyone was patriotic? And I'm not saying blind allegiance to the government. That's not what I'm saying. But if everybody actually loved their country, how great would we be? It would be America! Exactly. Damn straight. Hell yeah. All right. So, is doing this, in your opinion, harmful for a little child?
No, absolutely not.
All right. So what's the issue? What's going on?
The dad was an atheist, and he owned his own atheist church. He disagreed with it by the Congressional Act of, I think, 1964, where he said it goes against the beliefs of the atheists, saying his daughter should not have to state under God that part in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Under God. What's an atheist?
Someone who believes in the scientific version. I like, yeah, you believe more in science than you do in God.
Oh, you're saying that people who believe in God can't believe in science?
Well, no.
You do realize all of the first scientists that started every single field did so because they wanted to get a greater understanding of God's creation.
All right, but like atheists are a lot like... All I know went against what the father beliefs were the atheists, and he claimed that his daughter was also atheist. They don't believe in God.
How old was the girl?
She was in kindergarten.
Kindergarten, so that's like what?
Five, six.
Do you think a 5 or 6 year old actually knows anything?
No.
Probably they like macaroni and cheese, right? I've never come across a 5 year old, didn't like macaroni and cheese. And you said it was a young lady, a young girl?
Yes.
So she probably liked princesses and Barbies and things like that.
But, I don't know anything about that.
But she does not believe in God. Absolutely.
That's what the father was saying.
So what'd the father do?
Well, the father tried talking to, I think it was the head of the school, saying this goes against his beliefs in the church he runs, so...
Fuck. Wait, hold on a second.
I'm holding on a second.
He doesn't believe in God, but he runs a church.
An atheist church.
I don't know. I don't want to offend anyone who's a Scientologist, but I think even Scientologists believe in some type of divine spirit. Thank you. Yeah, I know there was just like this weird amorphous creature. All right, but anyways, so he is offended. He is claiming that his daughter is being harmed for saying two words.
Yep. Because it goes against his...
So what did he do?
So he filed for the National Court of Appeals. After the school said it doesn't go against the...
Whoa, hold on a second. To get to the Court of Appeals, what must happen first?
Trial court.
There has to be a trial. And what happened in the trial?
They said it doesn't go against the act, and there's nothing wrong with his daughter saying to God.
All right. Religious. So this was not a violation of what?
Of the... I believe it was some congressional act of 1964.
Okay, well, that's the law that put under God in. What is he claiming was violated?
Like it was harming his daughter by saying under God.
But where did the harm derive from? On what legal grounds? What?
Establishment clause.
The establishment clause. Establishment clause of what? Of what? Where is the establishment clause from?
The First Amendment.
First Amendment. Okay, anything else?
I didn't hear it, but let me take a guess. Free exercise clause.
Wow, well done. Well done. That's a way to dig down deep. First Amendment, free exercise. All right, last two questions for you.
I'm ready.
And these are the hardest ones of them all.
I'm ready. But I'm ready.
What is the establishment clause? What is the free exercise clause?
Free exercise is almost free speech.
Well, what are you freely exercising?
For the father, it was the atheist ideology.
So what are you basically freely exercising?
Your religion.
Religion. All right. What's the establishment clause?
Are you establishing your religion?
Oh, there you go. Who's establishing it?
The father.
No.
No. No?
No. Who shall not establish?
Government?
Oh, government. Okay. Yeah, that went very good. Excellent. Thank you.
I'm getting it.
FYI. You get it. You get it. FYI. I'm done. Unless you want to go again. Now, there is no such thing as separation of church and state in our Constitution. That phrase originates from a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to one of his friends in Virginia. Because at the time, Virginia, the state church of Virginia, was the Church of England. The Anglican Church. Although in America it became the Episcopalian Church. And Jefferson had a problem with the fact that we just rebelled against the crown, but yet our citizens in Virginia are having to pay a portion of their taxes to support a church run by the very government we broke away from. So what he literally was calling for was separating the Church of Virginia from the Crown of England. There is no other meaning to it. But in modern era, it has been convoluted and twisted. Like many of the things that we have been led to believe. What the Constitution actually says is that the United States government cannot make a national church of the United States of America, like the Church of England. Who shall establish the churches? The states or the people? FYI, Massachusetts had an official state church that taxpayers had to support by law, all the way up until like 1859, it might have actually still been in place in the Civil War. That's the Congregational Church. So even if you are not a member of the Congregational Church, a portion of your taxes, collected through property taxes, had to pay for the maintenance of the Congregational Church in your town and the salary of the pastor. You didn't have a choice. Every single one of the 13, except for Pennsylvania and Rhode Island, had state churches. Our framers didn't want the United States government coming in and making a national church, though. Why? Well, because the people in New England were Congregationalists. The people in the southern states were either Baptists or Episcopalians. Plus, there was some other, Protestant factions here. They were fearful of the United States coming in and just picking one. Y'all have to be Lutherans by law of the United States government. That's why they put this in. Congress shall make no law establishing church. Nor shall Congress interfere with the free exercise of religion? Who chooses your faith? You do. So, if you want to be a Catholic, be a Catholic. If you want to be Jewish, be Jewish. If you want to be a Muslim, be a Muslim. It's not up to the United States government to decide. You do. So, how the hell do these have to do anything with a young girl saying, under God?
Let us find out.
Andrew, did you do your homework?
Yeah. Rise before the court.
All right. So, what happened in the trial?
Did the trial court agree with the dad that the young girl saying under God was a violation of the First Amendment?
No. No, why not?
One, he was he doesn't even have a...
No, don't get ahead of me. Why? Alright, I know, but then you got to answer this using this. Do you understand what the Establishment Clause is? How does saying this equate to that? Because he's claiming that his daughter saying two words, under God, is the equivalent of the United States government making a American church. What does the Establishment Clause prohibit Congress from doing?
Can't require religion.
No, that's the Free Exercise Clause. What's the Establishment Clause? The United States government can't do what?
Establish
religion. A religion, all right. So how is saying under God the equivalent of Congress making a religion?
Because you're saying under God.
But how is that making a church?
It's not.
Yeah. So that's the reason why the trial court said no.
Yes.
Okay. All right, that's fair. Was he satisfied with that?
No.
So what did he do?
He tried to appeal.
Question. How do you get an appeal? Do you have a right to an appeal?
Well, not the Supreme Court, but the Upper Appeals Court. And what must be wrong?
Something to do with the evidence or the judge.
The law, the rules, procedure made by the judge or the
jury.
All right, so...
Quick question, side note. What if something didn't go wrong, but they still try to appeal, but, how can you decide if something actually went wrong?
That's up to the appellate court. 100% up to
the
appellate.
So, you could appeal anything, even if
you could appeal anything.
Wrong,
but the key, and this is real technical, and you don't have to know this level. If you're in trial, the only way you could possibly get an appeal is if you object to the perceived violation in the moment. You can't go back after the fact and be a Monday morning quarterback. You know, you have to have your attorney in the moment say, Your Honor, I object to that. Because if you don't, you don't get your appeal. All right, so was there an appeal?
I don't believe so.
Oh, so we're all done? That's where it ended?
No. He did appeal.
He did appeal. Did the appeals court agree with the trial court?
No.
No! What did they do?
Well, hold on. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So the trial court made its decision. It was appealed. The Ninth Circuit agreed to hear it. And then they did what when they didn't agree with what happened below?
$180.
And when you do a 180, what are you doing? All right. Turn around and look at the door behind you. In terms of your general direction, what did you just do?
Turned around.
Or one word for it starts with an R? Like when you're going to back a car up?
Reverse.
Oh, yeah, you got to reverse. All right, very good, yeah. All right. So the appeals court reversed the decision below. Why?
Well, one, he doesn't have custody over his daughter, and he can't. He does not have sufficient custody over his daughter.
Wait, hold on a second. I think you're getting way ahead. Way ahead. We got to focus on what we got to do this baby steps, because we can't make sense of the final determination unless we see all the steps along the way, right? Have you ever climbed a flight of stairs?
No.
You've never went up a flight of stairs. Yes. Is it possible to go from the first step up to like the 14th like that?
No.
What must you do?
Process.
All right. What did the appeals court say? You can sit for now. What did the appeals court say?
Didn't they give them three decisions?
They gave three separate decisions. All right, why did they give three?
First opinion, they said that the teacher pledging it was and then, like, pledging the undergod of the students what they count as endorsement.
Okay. So the Ninth Circuit said that the teacher essentially was government. And that the teacher doing this is establishment. How the hell could the teacher be a government? Yeah, if you are a public school teacher, you are part of the government. Guess what? I am part of the government. Here. Okay, so the First Circuit said, yes. Violation. So, what happened then?
The mother accepted, she said that she has custody.
Holy shit, I'm getting really confused now. So, it was the dad? Does the father have a right to file a case on behalf of a child?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Dad for daughter put the case in. But mom comes in. Mm-hmm. What'd mom do?
Mom said that she has exclusive legal custody over the child. And that means, like, the child's well-being, education, and religion.
Oh! Does dad actually have a right to file on behalf of his daughter? Who says? Who establishes custody?
The judge.
The judge, courts! Right. There apparently was a divorce. And mom got full custody. Which means mom has full rights over her. Does mom want to sue because of under God?
No.
Oh.
She's Christian. Or that doesn't the daughter is Christian. And that the case would be like the thing for the child.
Does a parent have a right to declare the religion of their child?
Yeah.
Right. But the parent must have what?
Custody.
Okay, so then what happened?
Their second opinion is they got messed up. And then they said that he still has personal, like he can stand personally, but he can't stand personally.
Standing. What's standing?
His claim to go to court. His reasoning behind.
Okay, remember, there are five criteria to sue. The first thing to get over the threshold is you must have legal standing. You must have the right to sue. Does he have the right to sue on behalf of the daughter? Why?
In part of it, Article 3 of the Constitution says that the plaintiff has to show direct personal injury, and that daughter is not direct personal injury, so if either of these, he has no standing. And then within the California law, it also said that if you don't have sole custody of the child, you can't stand for the child about their education itself.
All right. Oh, wow. Now we're really getting technical. So we have a state law that's guiding, but we still have a federal question. Do we not? So we have a federal appeals court. The Ninth Circuit is a federal appeals court making a decision on state law. Was it proper for them to make a decision on state law? It was. And what did they decide? The third time around?
They denied the injunction. Could you reframe that question?
So, first take at the bat. Violation. Second swing at the bat. Mom comes in. Court says, issue, state law, custody. There was a third decision, because they went back again, a third time.
He could sue beyond, himself.
So the Ninth Circuit basically said, even though Dad didn't have 100% custody, he could still sue. But in order to sue, you must have what?
You gotta show direct personal injury.
So you must have direct personal standing. This claim is based on his daughter.
That was outstanding, by the way. I mean, I could say you crushed it, but that statement in itself would be an understatement.
What do you think? How many people think Dad overstepped his parental rights? How many people think bad government indoctrination through proselytization? Side for the atheist. Nobody?
I don't side with the atheist, but I think that he has a bit of a point when it comes to not just his situation, but other people who share different religious views.
I feel like because God isn't necessarily specific to one religion, the definition of God is just like a higher power. And like when I looked it up, it said like the God for like in other religions, like Allah is considered the God, you know? So it's like it's not specific to one religion. It could be, you
know? Here's a spin, all right? Is there a belief system, regardless of a particular church, that does not believe something created everything?
No. Imagine if I heard your question wrong.
Is there a belief system that does not believe that something created existence? What doesn't believe that something is responsible for creation? What do they believe?
They don't believe that something is, if they know science, they believe that something. Yeah,
even if they believe in science. By the way, science is just a philosophy. It's a faith. It's a value system. And what do atheists believe? That everything has always been here forever. No, what's the most commonly held scientific explanation for how creation came into being?
The Big Bang.
So like I said, is there a value system out there that doesn't believe something is responsible for creation?
Flat Earth is the Big Bang.
No. It can't be flat Earth. That's just made up. Alright. So that is ultimately what the Supreme Court looked at. To Amber's point, there's nothing in the pledge that says God of the Buddhists, God of, I don't know, the Hindus, God of,
The Wiccans! It just uses an amorphous phrase. God. God generally stands for the Creator. And if you adhere to science, your Creator is the Big Bang.
So the Supreme Court ultimately said that
this, by saying two words, could never actually result in any harm to anybody. And also, state law did dictate that 100% custody goes to mom. So the Supreme Court actually denied the Clay claim based on standard. Dad loses.
Questions? By the way, I don't care if I got the outcome right, but this is the kind of weird stuff that goes on every single day. And it's what makes the law so interesting. All right, I'm going to skip Pridgeton, and I want to get to Tarasoft real quick. So we'll go ahead one, and then if we got enough time, we'll go back to Pridgeton. Although Pridgeton is the case that I like talking about as well. So let's see if Edomir is prepared.
Wow, yeah.
All right, yeah, boy. Do the best you can do, my friend. That's all I ask. All right, so in the case, Tarasoft v. Regents of the University of California. Generally speaking, what happened?
Generally speaking, a therapist had a patient who wanted to kill somebody. He learned from his patient that she wanted to kill somebody named Tatiana Tarasoff.
Okay, a therapist.
And then...
What's a therapist?
Therapist is someone like talks to you, so like, yeah, we call him. Like that, or just someone that talks to you.
Who generally goes to therapists?
People
that has problems. So, therapist was speaking. Now, was the person you said an actual patient of the therapist? Obviously, this kind of implies what about the patient? He's got some issues, right? Now, people who have issues, are they generally violent?
No.
But could they?
Yeah.
So, what is the therapist supposed to do about it?
Tell somebody.
Do they have to?
No, unless you could tell that he's actually
a problem. Oh, okay. So therapist is supposed to counsel patient. And the best thing is that the therapist probably is going to advise the patient not to be violent. All right. But what did you say that he said to his therapist?
He wanted to kill someone.
Did he actually say that?
Yeah.
He wants to kill. Edomir.
Yes.
Do you have violent tendencies?
Sometimes.
All right, no. He's being honest. Has anyone ever gotten you so mad that you thought violent things? No. Work with me. Have you ever thought violent thoughts?
Yes.
Man, if only I could. All right. Have you ever said to anybody, man, I'd like to take out that person? I'd like to punch that person?
Yeah.
I'd like to fuck that person up. All right. But you never said, I want to kill that son of a bitch. Huh. Has anybody? I have. But when I use that phrase, Did I literally mean I wanted to kill them?
No.
No, what did I want to do?
Fuck them.
I want to fuck them up. Right, right. I didn't want to kill them. Would an average, reasonable person, if angered by... By the way, what was the situation that angered him? Why was he angry? Anybody?
She did what?
He wanted to get it on, and she said,
"I don't know what."
Okay. Interesting. So, have you ever had interest in a lady that you, in some manner, tried to display your affections and have it rejected? Did you want to kill her?
No.
Do you want to fuck her up?
No.
Attaboy. But could you see somebody that was maybe so smitten and had their heart trampled on? Maybe just being angry and saying something like this.
Yeah.
All right. Question. Because you could easily see someone saying it. It's kind of extreme, but it's not unthinkable. Is the harm foreseeable?
Possible.
Possible.
In this situation,
well, no. Well, no. Let's think about it. On a sliding scale, is it pretty close to fuck yeah? It's definitely more likely to happen, more likely not? Or is it kind of like, no, no one in their right mind would ever really want to? Or is it so close, we're just not sure?
He's not in
the right mind. No one in the right mind can say that. I don't know. If you are seeing a therapist, you clearly are not in the right mind. Something's going on. So if you tell your therapist,
no, maybe someone
but
goes.
Everyone not
they,
seeing
yeah.
a therapist isn't because they're like.
Well, yeah,
no, right. Yeah,
mentally
maybe.
Unstable.
But
the
therapist
has to take that kind of seriously. They have to take everything you're told seriously.
Yeah.
They can't just be like, oh, you said something, you know, whatever.
All right. Well, here's a question for you. It's actually go back to Adam here. In the facts, did it say that he said that often? So it was something. In all those instances, did he actually go and kill people?
Yes.
Once.
Oh, he only did it once. If he said, I'm going to kill somebody multiple times, but he only acted on it once, how does that impact foreseeability?
It's the same person.
You can't kill them
again, right? Yeah, it's the same. So what if it's the same person?
That doesn't matter.
Yeah. All right, well, because again, we got to understand, in order to have liability, the harm must be foreseeable. So we got to analyze these things. All right, last question. When the doctor found out about it, did he do anything?
He told campus police.
Told campus police.
And that the campus police, like, had him in holding for the weekend.
So, he knew about potential harm. He did something to intervene. What did the campus police do?
They held him for a little bit.
They held him. Why didn't they arrest him? Does campus police have the power to arrest anybody?
No.
I'm sure they asked, hey, are you going to kill her? And what do you think he said?
No.
Yeah! And what do you think he said?
No.
No, no. I'm just having a bad day. I'm just chilling. All right.
Do you want to give me anything else? You good?
I'm good.
You think you did a good job? I think you did. Nicely done. All right. Who can I pick on? I'm trying to find someone I haven't picked on yet. Orion. Didn't do it. All right. Juliana's not here. Hey, Anthony. Didn't do it. Janine, did you do your homework? Ardine, did you do homework?
Oh, no.
No. All right, well, guess what? Oh, wait, there's one person left. Hi. How are you? Question.
What is doctor-patient confidentiality?
All right, question. Why do you think that exists?
Yeah, there are different areas of confidentiality that's established under the law, because these are individuals that people generally go to seek help. And are you going to trust that the person you go to, and you're going to basically air all your dirty laundry, is going to keep those secrets? Do you want those types of people to be forced, compelled, to give up those secrets? No, because what are you probably not going to do? Not going to tell them anything. I tell you, there's been times when I was younger, and I went into confessional, and I told my priest stuff. I'm surprised that God didn't smite me down right there in the spot. But I had to do lots of Hail Marys. I had to do lots of Our Fathers. Lots of praying. But the priest never told anybody because of confidentiality. Doctor-patient confidentiality is huge. Did the doctor breach it? I thought Edamer said that the therapist called Candace Bergman.
She did, but it was because of the
danger. Danger! Foreseeability. We're coming back to foreseeability again. Harm to who? To Tatiana. Is Tatiana? Does she have a relationship with the therapist? No. Question.
Aren't therapists and like doctors like mandated reporters? Like if they feel like something's gonna harm someone else, like aren't they supposed
to? Oh, in Massachusetts today, yes. Something but like there wasn't the case before like 2010 or something like that. By the way, I'm a state teacher. I have to report anything, which is the reason why I tell you, die outside the goddamn hallway. I'm not reporting anything if I don't have to. Well, my job would be on the line if I didn't, right? And is that a good thing? Or should we allow young girls to get shot? No. Who sued who? Why didn't she sue? Can a dead person sue?
Yeah.
Oh, their estate can sue. Right, yeah, exactly. The estate can sue. Why? What's the impact of one's estate if the holder of the estate is dead? It's not as valuable. No, seriously. If you're dead, can you make more money? No.
Well, that's true. If you sell your soul like the holograms, like some of the actors have, so they're going to be like 3D things like the rest of their life.
You could have a product too, but yeah, all right. But did she? She was just a young girl who was trying to go to college, and she got killed! All right. So the parents sued the school. Why the school? Why not him? Wait, who in the school was aware? And who also? Who was in the employ of the school? Oh. Did they have a do... Oh, wait, hold on a second. So, wait. He has a relationship with him. You could argue police has a relationship with him. But the girl? Did he have a relationship with her? Did the police have a relationship with her? So how do you get from him to her? Because if there is no relationship, can there be a duty? No. So how is the family suing? Anybody know? What?
No. As a licensed healthcare professional, doesn't the lawyer have a duty?
At the time, no.
The campus police were notified, and then the therapist, his superior, made sure all the records were destroyed, and then he told the staff to make no further action. So they were very aware of what was going to happen.
Yes. Yes, obviously they were. But that still doesn't answer my question. Where does the duty arise from? Therapist school has a relationship with patient. Neither therapist nor school has relationship with Tiana. How do you have a relationship established when there is none?
I was going to say at the time, so basically doing my research, I realized that this case brought upon the duty to warn.
Oh!
Mandated reporters. They didn't have a duty to warn at the time. They only had to report. It's called CANRA, and they had to report abuse or child abuse or whatever, but they didn't have a duty to warn.
To warn the person
who's going to be harmed. But
so if there is no duty to harm, and it's so potentially dangerous and harmful to society, what does a court have the power to do? Make an exception. Do you have the Tarasoff exception in your notes? You got it? All right, I'll give it to y'all. All right, this goes into your notes under exceptions to bystander rule of obligation. We are going to call this the special relationship. And as Amber said, it was created in the Tarasoff case by the court, who basically said, a girl just got killed. Somebody has to be responsible for it. So here's the catch. In order for this exception to apply, all right, there must be the presence, one, of a special relationship. In place. There has to be some type of special relationship. Counselor, patient, teacher, student. There has to be some type of special relationship. And because of this relationship, knowledge of potential harm is gained. And three, one needs to be controlled to prevent the harm. And with reasonable certainty, we know who's going to be harmed. Five, then, duty of reasonable care.
What is the duty of reasonable care?
To warn the identified or foreseeable victim. There's no duty to intervene beyond warning. Even if Tatiana was killed, if school picked up the phone, dialed, and said, hey, you might be killed, could the school have been sued? No.
No.
That's all it would have taken. That's all it would have taken. Like with the Circle Inn, passing the phone over to let somebody dial 911. How much effort does that take? Yo, Jose, Emmy, he's going to kill you. There, you're warned.
Thanks.
Now fuck him up.
Outside the classroom.
You're learning. You're learning. All right, questions?
Yes.
So this applies to the therapist, but does it apply just to regular bystanders?
No, unless there's some type of relationship.
Special.
Yeah, there has to be some type of special relationship. Yeah. So if you were walking down the street and you pass by some stranger, and as they were walking by, they said, I'm going to go kill Tatiana. Do you have a duty to warn Tatiana?
No.
Why?
Because in a special relationship.
You don't know who that person is. It's just a stranger. You're just a bystander.
What if it's say you're in school and you know two people are friends and something.
All right, a friend, is that a special relationship?
Yeah.
There you go. All
right.
Yeah, under with this exception, that would apply. All right. But there has to be some type of special relationship. Questions? I am not going to collect your homework. So if you did your homework, guess how much homework you have over the weekend?
Nice.
None, because when am I going to collect it? On Wednesday. But if you did not do your homework, hint, hint, hint. Have a nice long weekend. We'll see you in a week.
Yeah,
we
just...
I know, right? Fine. Put it up here. If you can't, you're going to trust me. You're going to trust me. All right, I see how it is.
My name's
I do not.